Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to the man who has received so much recognition for his work on behalf of small business that he had to get a bigger mantle for his awards and a wider door for his head.
You have reached the transmitting signal for the big giant head. All big giant circuits are busy right now. Please stay on the line.
Mr. Humble, Jim Blasingame.
Welcome back, 34 after the hour. Thanks for staying with me. Thanks for being part of my day. Mr. Humble, that's what they call me around here, and with great justification, too, I might add. I'm glad you're here, and I'm glad, especially glad, that our good friend Dr. Judith Glazer is here, too. Judy is a 10-year member of our Brain Trust. She's the author of Conversational Intelligence, among many other books. The DNA of Leadership, 42 Rules for Creating We. You'll get the picture. She is one of the smartest people we know, and she is really working hard and making some groundbreaking research on how our brain works, and especially when we work with each other, when we communicate with each other, when we connect with each other. And she's our good friend, Judy Glazer. Welcome back to the show.
I'm so thrilled to be back today and to talk about a subject I love.
Always a pleasure to have you back. Self-expression.
Yeah, yeah. So you're
now,
talking about
what's the difference in expression and self-expression?
Self-expression is talking with people, having a voice. Self-expression is diving deep into the core of your reality, what your reality is, and who you are as a person. And so it's like our identity and self-expression go hand in hand. And what I've learned in my research, which started over 30 years ago, my first research actually was 40 years ago when I was still in my graduate program. Something happens inside of us when we're able to share our view of reality with people without any kind of negative judgment about how we see the world.
Has that really happened?
When has it happened, right? I think we can count it on our hands, right?
Yeah. That sounds like a rare bird.
I'll tell you, I want to make it less of a rare bird, Jim, because the research that I did followed people for years, like a decade, after they had an opportunity to be self-expressed about their view of reality without judgment.
So I want you to flesh that out more. Self-expression, their view of reality. What would that look like? What would that sound like?
Well, so I will share it from the point of view of a young person,
right?
And then we'll do it as an older person, because our research did start with young
children. Yeah, do it like you first, and then do it like me second. Go ahead.
Okay. So in my graduate program, we got 31 kids in a young school, you know, kids that were 2 to 6. And we did an experiment. We had them draw pictures of their reality, whatever it was that was in their head, as they were seeing the world around them. And then we asked them to tell us a story about what they drew. And so we had both the audio and we had the visual. And then we had what was called a talking typewriter. Many of them hadn't learned how to read yet. We enabled them to learn how to read and write based on their stories. We could create levels of learning on this big typewriter. That part isn't as important. But we put their work in it, and so they literally learn how to type the words in their story.
So
and their
did they
picture.
Use letters or icons?
No, real letters. It was a real typewriter.
Right.
And the one level was that it was every letter was locked except the letter that was next in their story. So they had to peck around and find the one that was open.
Ah.
And it was so it took them, you know, a while, 31 sessions to do this. So all the kids learned how to read and write. I mean, it's amazing. But they learned how to read, most importantly. Then we followed them for 10 years in school and watched what the teacher said about all
of
them.
So what would be an example of what one of them expressed themselves as?
Well, they would draw a picture of how they saw the world outside. It was their view. Let's say mostly what they loved were flowers, so they would make flowers the center of it. And we'd tell you, my world is about flowers, or my world is about friendship. They'd have people in it.
Mm-hmm.
So each child had a thing that they were most focused on that was their expression of what they loved. That's how we interpreted it.
So this would be one child might draw a house.
Yep.
Their house. One child might draw a sport, something with sports.
Yes.
Or
an animal.
Another
an animal.
Child
you
might draw food or whatever.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Okay.
And what we loved is hearing them then tell the story. We recorded their story. And what we also did is we were trained for 6 months before we did this to not be judgmental. Now you say that's easy. All you're doing is recording there. No, people feel judgment in 0.07 seconds, maybe sooner. And if we were there thinking in our heads, just thinking, you know, that's such a simplistic, or whatever we want to do that's critical in our head, the child is stealing it. It dampens down their ability to be self-expressed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
And this happens in education all the time.
All the time. Mm-hmm. All the time. Teachers are constantly, when you go in and talk to them, you know, they're constantly having favorites. They're constantly
the
being
Pygmalion down. The effect is an effect, is working at work, too.
It, what is, I'm sorry?
The Pygmalion effect, where what you expect of a child is what you may wind up getting.
Right. What you expect is what you get, which can also be lower than the aspirations the child has for themselves.
That's the danger of a Pygmalion effect.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So we follow these kids, and first of all, the major thing which we never anticipated is that their IQs jump 10 to 15 points.
Really?
Have you ever heard that before?
No, I've never heard that before.
Okay.
Hold on to that thought. We're going to get more into this, folks. This is getting interesting, and we're going to bring it to the marketplace real soon, right after these messages. 20 till, I'm Jim Blasingame. Right back after these messages with our good friend, Dr. Judith Glaser.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.